Blog Talk Radio.
Praise team, join New Life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know he's wondrous? Put your hands together and sing this.
Created us from the dust.
Behold the Son.
Good day, and welcome to the broadcast. This is yours truly, the Apostle B.W. Jones Sr., right here on the Proceeding Word. So glad, elated, and excited to be with you yet this day, another day that Yahweh, our Elohim, has made. I can't stand it. Do you know we're coming upon a time that is going to be so dynamic for you that if you ever give over to what he requires, there will be things that he can do for you your mind never thought possible. That's right. There are items and issues and struggles and circumstances and situations that he can both put in and take out of your life, all because you obey his word. It's the truth. Many people think that there's some other hocus pocus or magic to it, or that there might not even be a God. But let me assure you of this one thing, dear hearts, that our God is true. He's living. Matter of fact, he's the only true and living God that there ever will be, ever has been, or ever can be. But for the day, I want you to recognize this and understand that he has a plan for you. That's right. Your life has already been planned out. Yep. You are living in something that's called the shadow of your life already. He has been and knows where you're going, and he did it all before you ever came on the planet. Now, he did not choose for you the choices you made. He has not chosen for you heaven or hell, but what he has chosen for you is a life of destiny. And what you do within that coursing determines how you get there. And therefore, everything that Yahweh has created, he created with you in mind, just like he did for Adam and Eve. That's right. He created for them in mind what they would need, and they chose to do things differently. So what am I saying? That Yahweh has said, I know my thoughts concerning you. Thoughts of good, not of evil. Thoughts to give you an expected end. And that expected end can only manifest if you have done or made decisions that will be conducive to that happening. So at the end of the day, at the beautiful end of the day, we want you to realize, understand, and embrace the reality that who you are, why you are, and what you are becomes, listen to this, a choice you make to follow him. Mm-hmm. That's right, a choice we make to follow him. And when we decide to follow him, watch this, everything that we choose to do following him becomes true and real to us. Give your heart, give your mind, give your body, give your soul over to him. His will, his way, please understand, it's the only way. That's why he says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, nor are my ways like your ways. As far as the heavens are from the earth, so are my thoughts from yours. That's right. We got to recognize that. We got to acknowledge that. We got to bring ourselves into comprehension with that and understanding of that, because it is him who gives us health. He gives us hope. He gives us life. He gives us all we're going to ever need. But watch this. We got to follow his way of doing things. So that's why I always say, this today is the day that Yahweh, your Elohim, hath made. I will, you should, come on, let's do it together. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it smells like. He is still sitting high on the throne. I want you to know that he's got your back. He's got your front. And if you let him inside of you, oh my goodness, he'll do more than you could ever have imagined possible for the benefit of your very life. Well, let's get started with our broadcast. Of course, you know we're always coming in to teach you just a few things, so you might as well get your neighbor, get your cousin, get your auntie, get your everybody that you know, and get them on the line. Let them know that, hey, the Proceeding Word is on the air. That's right. Throw a rock across the pond. I don't care what you got to do. Call somebody up on the phone, inbox them, email them. Come on, call them. Whatever you got to do, I want you to grab yourself a friend and let them know. Get your pastor, your uncle, I don't care who you get. Get your Bible study teacher, get your prayer partner, all you prayer warriors out there. Get your prayer partner, get your pastor, get your Bible study teacher, your Sunday school teacher, get your minister of music, whatever you need to do, and let them know the Proceeding Word is on the air, because we're going to talk about some things we oftentimes don't consider, yet it's from our Bible. So I want you to let them know, no man can live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim. And we have to really embrace that only what comes out of the mouth of Elohim can ever create the type of atmosphere for us that is conducive to us being, watch this, totally successful. Yeah, it's a true statement. And my goodness, we're going to talk about that today. So, listen, grab your Bibles. Come on, let's go. Tell a neighbor. Did you do it yet? Did you call somebody? Did you text them yet? Did you inbox them yet? Did you email them yet? Did you tweet them yet? Come on. You didn't tweet them yet? Hurry up. Did you inbox them? Did you go ahead and LinkedIn them? Whatever you need to do, Instagram them. Let them know the proceeding word is on the air. You're going to learn today. Trust me when I tell you. So today we're going to talk more about comprehending what is known as the Sabbath. The Sabbath, you'll hear me use the linguistics, is known to the American tongue as Sabbath. Seventh day is what we talk about. Now, we are not Seventh-day Adventists here. We are not Seventh-day anything, but we are Sabbath keepers. Now, to be a Sabbath keeper automatically groups you into being a Seventh-day Adventist or a Seventh-day Holiness or a Seventh-day Baptist or Seventh-day Methodist. Yes, they exist. They're all systems. They are denominations. So what we want to discuss here is what Yahweh our Elohim says about in the Torah, what he says about the seventh day, how important the seventh is. And so we want to try and make a way of understanding what seventh day is all about. Well, why is the seventh day so important? Well, we try to tell you every single solitary week that when Elohim made the heavens and the earth, he made them all in 6 days. What do you mean? Well, let's just examine that. Genesis chapter 1, you'll always hear me come here. I'll teach from Genesis more than any other place in the Bible. Why? Because it's the book of the beginning. Genesis is so important that when we look to embrace and or understand its significance in our lives, it will change our outlook. And you can't know where you are going unless you first know where you have been. And most of us don't know history. Therefore, we make the same foolish mistakes. I know I do. And we find ourselves embracing the same mistakes without really interpreting how to circumvent those mistakes. And we can't circumvent those mistakes unless we first realize, understand, and embrace that everything that is in the earth, our Elohim, Yahweh, our Elohim, has given us a history of how things began, why they began, and the suggestion on how to proceed from that point. That's what the Bible is called. You've been saying it for years in the Christian church. You've been saying the B-I-B-L-E, well, that's the book for me. It's the basic instructions before leaving earth. All the little catchphrases we've used. But I want you to understand today that the Bible is far more than just some catchphrase. If you catch a phrase from the Bible, it can change your life to a place that you will never want to come back from. So in the beginning, the book of Genesis, and we find that there was a plan, that there was a process, that there was an intent that needs to thoroughly be understood. Now, let's look at what we talk about in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the earth, verse 2, was without form, and it was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. And Elohim said, "Let there be light." and there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And Elohim said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters. And Elohim made the firmament, divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament, and it was so. And Elohim called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. So we have 2 days here that were created. All right. Verse number 8. And Elohim called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. I meant verse 9, forgive me. And Elohim saw or said, let the waters that are under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And Elohim called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And Elohim saw that it was good. And Elohim said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding tree after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And Elohim saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs and for seasons and for days. Let them be signs, let them be for seasons, and let them be for days, and also let them be for years. Verse 15 says, and let them be for the light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And Elohim set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day, to rule over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. Elohim saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So we see a pattern here. Days are being created, days are being made. All right? So we get down to the reality of some other things. Verse 20 says, and Elohim let the waters, he said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. Let the waters bring forth abundantly the fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And Elohim created the great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And the waters brought forth, this is deep right here, every winged fowl after his kind. Elohim saw that it was good. And Elohim blessed them that the waters brought forth. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So here's something that many of you may not have paid attention to nor understand, as we would like to say, or desire to embrace. Here is the catch to this. Please pay close attention. This is an interesting fact. This is an intriguing point. In verses 23, you see that Elohim told what those in the waters. Day two, Elohim separates the waters that were on the earth. He separates the waters that were on the earth. I'll repeat this. Day two of creation, Elohim separates the waters that are upon the earth. He takes the waters, he splits them in two. So he takes half the water. Now remember, in verses number 1 of Genesis chapter 1, if you're in your Bibles, it says, verse 2 says, "And the earth was void without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Now the deep means the waters. "And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters." So the world, earth, as we know it and understand it, was literally encompassed in water. It was a blue sphere floating around in the atmosphere, all right, in space, in its galaxy. And so Elohim, in order for life to exist on the earth, took half the water and pushed it up into what we call the heavens. That's why we have clouds in the air. That's why we have moisture in the air, because half the water that was on the earth is sitting up in the clouds. I think we call that the stratosphere. We call that the heavens. Well, the reason we do is because verse number day two, verses number 7 says, "And God made the firmament. He divided waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And Elohim called the firmament heaven." So the firmament that's above the earth is called heaven. That's the water. That's where we have the clouds. The clouds are just water. That's what it is. "And the evening and the morning, they were the second day." Now there was half the water taken up into the heavens, and then half the water left on the earth. Okay, now this is important. So when he makes this, please catch this, there is a body of water still on the earth. As a matter of fact, there's so much water on the earth that Yahweh only causes 25% of the rock called earth to show. Everything else, the other 75% of the earth, is under this water. Scientifically proven. Intrigue to this. Oh, I'm going to have a Holy Ghost filled time right here. The intrigue to this is the same way Yahweh our Elohim, the God of our creation, set up the earth, he also set up the man that he pulled from the earth. This is pretty good stuff. Just pay close attention. So the earth is 75% water, 25% dry, visible ground. That means mountain peaks, terrain, plains, continents that we call continents, that we have nations upon, islands, all of that stuff, all that equals 25% of visage, dry land, 25%. The other 75% is water, and if that water ever decides to stand up, it can still swallow the 25% of the dry land that's showing. And if all the water came back together, as it did in the days of Noah, it would cover the entire globe, and it would again be a blue ball floating around in the galaxy that Elohim made. Now, why was that important? Well, I'm going to show you some little things that happened. So day two, Elohim separates the water. Day five, he tells the waters that were on the earth, we call them seas, we call them lakes, we call them rivers, we call them springs, we call them wells, we call them, water. That's what we call it. Now, we put boats on it, Titanics sink on it, we sea-doo on it, we surf on it. We bathe in it. We jump in it. But what we have to realize about this water that's on the earth is the water on the earth is a completely different creative element, though it is a part of the earth. Look at what it says, verse number 20. And Elohim said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. Let them bring forth the moving creatures that have life. And let them bring forth the fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. One interesting piece that many people don't pay attention to is that birds, though they live in trees, though they walk on ground, that goes for chicken, that goes for turkey, that goes for hen, which is basically chicken, that goes for doves, eagles, ospreys, robins, bluebirds, blue jays, woody woodpecker, vultures, ravens, anything that flies was made from the water. Yeah, it's right there in your Bible. Did you read that? Yeah, look. It says in verse 20, Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, Elohim said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. Then he says, let them bring forth the moving creatures. That would be sharks. That would be whales, humpback whales, orcas, fish, crabs. What else would it bring forth? Grouper, tilapia, bass, whatever is in the sea, it would bring it forth. Whatever is in the sea, shrimp, blue crabs, Alaskan king crabs, anything that's in the sea, scallops, conch, whatever is in the sea, mussels, whatever's in the waters, Yahweh told the waters to create and bring forth. Well, bring forth because he created it, but just bring it forth. And I want you to, waters, I want you to abundantly produce the living creatures. And then he said to the same waters, I also want you all to bring forth the fouled, winged fowl. I want you to bring forth everything that has wings and flies and cluck clucks and quack quacks. So the ducks, the geese, the swan, the ostrich, all the things that have wings and that fly, the fowl of the air, are made, some of y'all didn't know this, from the waters. Because I sit and I wondered one day, I was out to, I forget where I was in Jersey. And while I was out there, I was watching some birds, seagulls. Oh, I remember being in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and I watched some seagulls dive into the water and grab fish. Now, I was on a boat, and the seagulls was, 40, 50 feet above me. And I'm out there trying to learn how to fish, and I couldn't see the fish in the water that was 5 feet beneath me. But a seagull saw, was it a seagull or was it a pelican? It was something. It saw in the water the fish I couldn't see at 5 feet. It saw it from 30 to 50 feet in the air. And I always wondered why. I also always wondered why birds of the air have their eyes on the sides of their head rather than in the front of their face. And then I started thinking, and it made sense when I read the Bible. That's why the birds can see in the waters, because it was made from the waters. That's why the birds, their eyes are on their face or on their head the same way a fish and a creature of the sea. How his eyes are on his head. They're all on the side. So they see the same way. They communicate technically the same way because they are from the waters. So just a little interesting piece. Birds, your chicken, your turkey, your quail, all those things you eat, your duck, all that wonderful stuff, they come from the sea. They're made from the sea. Now, here's another piece that you might want to look at on this. And we're talking about Sabbath and what it means to worship on Sabbath. But I want you to really see this because many people don't pay close enough attention to it. Elohim created the great whales, every living creature that moves on the waters, and brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after their kind. And God saw that it was good.
He blessed them. Uh-oh, verse 22. Wait, stop. Don't you go nowhere. Stay right here. He blessed them. That means he pronounced blessing over them. He empowered the creatures of the water to be fruitful, them to multiply. He wants them to fill the waters in the seas, and he wants the fowl. Look at this. See, the birds, the reason they don't live in the waters anymore is because of this decree right here in verse 22. Elohim told the fowl, the birds, eagles, ospreys, vultures, robins, sparrows, every bird, do not come back to the waters. I want you to live and multiply in the dry earth. That's what he said. Look at this, verse 22. Elohim blessed them. He told the waters to be blessed. He blessed them like he blessed man, technically. He says, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters in the seas and let all the birds multiply in the earth. Now, waters, I want you to make the birds, but birds, I want y'all to live on the dry earth. Did y'all know that Elohim was that detailed? Well, I told you going to learn today. You going to tell your neighbors that you're going to learn today. Y'all so deep. All right, moving forward. Verse number 23 says, and Elohim saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So on the fifth day, Elohim creates a universe called the waters. Now, if you notice, the waters have their own blessing plan. They are a completely separate entity on the earth. Let's go back into verse number 24 now. So in verse 24, after the fifth day was made, Elohim said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And Elohim made the beast of the earth after his kind. He made cattle after their kind, every living thing that creeps upon the earth after his kind. Elohim saw that it was good. And Elohim said in verse 26, let us make man. Now this is in the sixth day. He says, let us make man after he's made the cattle, after he's made and told the creeping things to produce, after the beasts of the field were produced. He then said, you know what? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over, watch this, the fish of the sea. Over, y'all gonna get this in a minute, over the fowl that are in the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, the dry places, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now I'm going to repeat this so you catch this in your spirit, man. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, man, have dominion over the fish of the sea. Somebody say the fish. Over the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle, over all the creeping things that creepeth upon the earth, meaning earth, meaning dry land that is present. This is what he means by this. So he says this, and then he gives man dominion. He created man in his own image, in his likeness. He made him female and male, male and female. Verse 28 says, and Elohim blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, wait a minute. He gave the same blessing in verse number 22 to the waters, the creatures of the water. So he blesses the creatures of the water the same way he blesses man on the earth. So here is your takeaway. Elohim blessed the waters. He made a manager of the waters out there. And then on the dry earth, he made a manager of the dry earth, and he gave them both the same blessing. So Elohim said to the man in verse 28, he blessed them, be fruitful, be multiplied, replenish the earth, and subdue the earth. Whatever's on dry ground, you have dominion. I also want to give you additional dominion over the fish of the sea. I'm going to give you dominion over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth, upon the dry dirt. Now, man has made the mistake of thinking that we own and can control what's out there in that water. Let me tell you a little something about that water, if I might be ebonic for a moment. Yahweh has not given mankind dominion over anything in that water but fish. What is a fish, Apostle? Surely Jaws is a fish, Orca is a fish, these great sea creatures are fish, octopus are fish. No, they are not fish. Squid are not fish. Clams are not fish. They live in the sea. They are made from water. Birds are not fish, but they come from the sea. What we have been given dominion over are the fish of the sea. Meaning, what a fish is described in your Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, Devarim, and in Leviticus, Yikra, item from the sea that has both, it has to have two things to be a fish. You have to have two things to be a fish. You have to have not gills. Everything in the sea has gills. You have to have fins and dually have scales. So if you're in the waters and you don't have scales and fins, you are not a fish. That's deep. Listen again. I give man dominion over the fish of the sea. So if it has scales and it has fins, Yahweh gave you dominion over it, which is why we may eat fish that has scales and fins that comes out of any water base. But he never gave us dominion over the humpback whale, over the shark, over the squid, and over whatever else is down there in that 6 to 7 mile cavern that we call the sea, filled with water. Whatever else is down there we have not yet developed, we don't have dominion over it unless it has scales and unless it has fins. That's why they float close to the surface of the sea, so you and I who have dominion over that can get them and eat them. They are part of our diet, but we don't are not supposed to eat the other items out of the sea. In the book of Devarim, it tells us that even shellfish, I'm going to mess some of y'all up, y'all going to not like me, I get it, but it's the 4th of July, and y'all going to be doing this stuff tomorrow. You're going to have your little crabs and your shrimps on the Barbie and all that stuff, but you know what? Yahweh did not make those items for mankind to consume. Now, I'm not trying to hate on y'all. I used to eat them. I ate my share of prawns and lobster and everything that was a shellfish, clams, casino, oysters, Rockefeller, all of that. Man, I ate it all. I loved it too. But then I found out that we were not supposed to eat that, and we're trying to figure out why our health is so bad. Well, if you do Sabbath worship, as we always do, you'll understand what goes on during Sabbath. And what Yahweh does is so interesting and intriguing. He does not want us, and he has not given us dominion over the sea. Now, he's given us dominion over the earth, over anything that's on dry land. On the mountains, we got it. Lions, tigers, and bears, we are in the dominion. We are the king of the jungle. Mankind is. Yep, that's right. Even though we fear them, we are that which has dominion. Anything else in that water outside of fish, like a grouper, a flounder, some bass, what else has fins and scales? You know that we don't even have dominion over catfish, because catfish is not a fish, i.e. catfish. It's not a fish because it doesn't have scales. It has fins, but it doesn't have scales. A shark has fins, but it doesn't have scales. A dolphin has fins, but it doesn't have scales. So we don't have dominion over them. Orca, these killer whales, have fins, but they don't have scales, and we're trying to train them, and we're wondering why they don't have any respect for mankind. Because we were never given dominion. Even they know that. If you come out in that water, that shark gonna eat you. Yeah, he is. Yep. You just became bait. I'm sorry. That's why you will not get Apostle Jones too often to travel out on any boat that goes too far from shore, because I can't drink all that water, and I have come to understand, hallelujah, from reading the Torah in my Bible, that I don't have dominion over that water. So if something happens to me in that boat, on all that water, I am not where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be on dry land. Yeah, I can throw a fishing rod into some water to get fish out of the water with a hook and some kind of bait. Fish that have scales, fish that have fins. That is my extent of dominion over water. If I get out there on all that beautiful, blue, powerful, power-driven water, and act like I got dominion, talking about I'm going to go get me Moby Dick. I got me a tub of tartar sauce, and I'm chasing after Moby Dick. When Moby Dick turned around and swabbled me up, I have nothing to say to God but my bad, because I had no business being out there. So if you go out there and the giant squid come out to sea and take your boat down, don't write back a story about how you was out fishing. You were not fishing. You was out of order. Stay in order. Be where he put you. He put man in the garden to till the ground, not in the waters, to hunt Moby Dick. Yeah, I said it. So that was your interesting you gonna learn today point for the day. You guys okay? Now, I feel like talking about this, even though it's almost time for me to take a break. You know, if some of us just obey what Elohim wanted, and that was how we should eat, what we should eat, why we should eat, some of us would not have the health problems that we have, and which is why I stopped eating crustaceans, because crustaceans are not fish of the sea, so we're not supposed to eat them. Even the Bible says that we do not eat shellfish. We only eat items from the sea that have fins and that have scales, because shellfish actually eat all the refuge, all the toxins in the sea, and they keep that process within their shell so it does not leak back out into the waters. So when we eat the shrimp and we eat the crab, we do not, and the lobster, we should not wonder why the waters are turning brown. Because we're eating the janitors of the sea. And we're not supposed to eat the janitors of the sea. That's why we're also not supposed to eat pork. Because the pork, the pig, is the janitor of the earth. It eats any and everything. So what it does is it eats all the gook and all the stuff. And that's why the swine is so big. But of course, because it's plenteous, we eat it. So though it tastes good, Yahweh did not intend for us to eat it, and there are ramifications. There are physical, scientifically, medically proven ramifications for our seafood diet and for our S-E-E food diet. You know there's two seafoods, right? S-E-A-F-O-O-D, and then there's the S-E-E-F-O-O-D. Okay, I'll repeat. C as in the water, and then C is what I look at. Food, okay? And just because you see swine don't mean you should eat swine. Now, unfortunately or fortunately, we have been given a reprieve, so we can eat swine. Peter will tell you about that when he was asleep up on the top of a building one day, and a white sheet came down, and you can eat those things that were considered unclean on the earth. But on that white sheet, Peter went to sleep. I'm talking to those that read your Bible. Peter went to sleep on the rooftop in the Gentiles area. He was evangelizing in the land of the Gentiles. And while he was in the land of the Gentiles, there were some things that developed, and he had to be at a meal to eating. And while he was eating, he said, you know, we're not supposed to eat this. This is unlawful to us. He went to sleep. Yahweh dropped the sheet from heaven, put all the beasts that he told Moshe that we should not eat as the children of Israel. And then he says, now from this day forward, because the Jews have denied my Messiah, I want you guys to interact with the Gentiles. But to interact with the Gentiles, they didn't have my law. So I'm going to show you what you can do. So these things here now, from this day forward, since they rejected the stone, which is the cornerstone of life, when you go to the Gentiles who won't reject you, you must eat what they put on the plate. So if they eat an armadillo, if they eat pork, you know, you're going to have to eat it so you don't offend them. And he says, don't call anything I've made unclean anymore. So you can eat anything on the earth okay, that I put on this white sheet. Now, the interesting thing is that what was on the white sheet was things that crawled on the earth, beasts of the field, and cattle of the field that were off limits to them at one time. But never on that white sheet did he put seafood. Nothing from the sea did he put on there. So he never said, all right, so even though I told you I don't eat crabs and shellfish or crustaceans, now you can eat crustaceans. No, he didn't. Now, some of y'all are like, Apostle, that ain't fair. You're messing with my food. How dare you? That's why I don't like you, because you just get too deep. Well, I'm just sharing information with you because, as I told you in the beginning of our broadcast, if you don't know the intent of why something exists, you won't know the purpose for what is to serve you or how it is to serve you. And if you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going. So, just a little tidbit. Leave the shellfish alone. I guarantee you, you'll be healthier. Toxemia comes from it. There's some other issues that the bodies medically are going through are because of our consumption of shellfish, conch. Oh, some of you people mad at me right now. Good gravy. Mussels, scallops. Oh, those things that taste so good. Crabs. My sisters and my mom having a fit. They don't like me right now. That's why they don't invite me over when they're doing all that crab baking, cooking and stuff. I love my parents, my family, but they still eat that stuff. And I ain't mad at you. It tastes good. I used to eat it too, by the bushel. But now I when you know better, you just do better. And then when you're thinking better, you understand it. But that's not a knockout to my mom and sisters and brothers who are listening to me today. Love y'all. But at the end of the day, you know, if God says I got a plan that's better than the plan you're making, and that incorporates how we eat and what we eat, it would do us well to read up on what he says our diet should be. So today we just want to share that with you. Look, we got to get going. At sundown today, today at sundown is going to be Sabbath. Consider resting in the Father and reading Genesis until you understand it. And then if you do, read Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. Not commentary. Don't get somebody else's commentary. Just read the Bible for yourself. If you got questions, hit me up. We'll be glad to help answer some of those questions. We're looking forward to you growing and learning in him in ways that no one else can. Well, I got to take a quick break and give you guys some time to let me get some water here. But I want you to listen closely. If you think you can't do it, I'm telling you right now, yes, you can. You can do it. You can make the change necessary in your life. Don't let anyone fool you or tell you differently.
Uh-huh.
condition. Oh my. With the Lord on your side, you can do anything. He said, I can, I know, I will.
Triumph over the enemy. I don't care what anyone says to you or what anyone thinks of you. You have the ability to triumph over the enemy of your salvation, who we call the enemy of our faith. You and I together in him, worshiping him and honoring him in truth, will always triumph over the enemy. Well, I hope you learned something today. I want you to learn more each day. And until we get an opportunity to meet again, I know that you guys are going to be celebrating what they call the 4th of July. Unfortunately, it falls on the day of Sabbath. Until sundown tomorrow, about the time for the fireworks, I won't be coming out. I'll be in my tallit, in my time of prayer, my time of study and worship because of the time that he's asked for. Hopefully you will consider that as well. You honor him above all things. Honor him on his holy day, not doing your own thing, not finding your own pleasures, not doing your own or speaking your own words. He will honor you with the life that he promised for his son, Jacob. The inheritance of Israel, the commonwealth of Israel, is available to you through obedience to his word. Don't let any human holiday interfere with the divine celebrated time that Yahweh has already prescribed for mankind to prosper and flourish from. Well, that's our hope for you today. Know that Sabbath is worship. Sabbath means, and worship means, obedience. Obey what he said, and he'll cause you to prosper in ways you've never known possible. Sabbath is upon us. Sundown today, 8:30 today, starts until 8:30 tomorrow, Saturday. That will be the time of Sabbath when we sit for 24 hours and just give our lives, our hearts, our minds, our souls to him. Hope you'll join us. Shalom to you.
The Bible declares, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is." We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the Word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team, a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.